Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We have Elijah Campbell back in Nashville hitting the switches. I am coming to you live from Tampa, Florida, where the Titans and Bucks are having joint practices. Just wrapped up day one, and we're going to get into some of the notes from that. Focused on the defense today, so I obviously have a lot of notes there. And we got, as always, Run TMC, you know what I mean, myself, and then Chris Sanders. We're going to get into a little Des Fitzpatrick. I think it's only right to talk about him, and we'll play a little should he stay or should he go. And we're going to wrap this thing up with John Ledyard of the Pewter Report. I got a lot of insight from him during practice, well, before practice, talking about Bud Dupree. So I'm going to try to pull some of that out. So, yeah, man, it's just going to be a great opportunity to talk shop. And this is what we do. So let's start out with practice today. And for me, a lot of stood out. A lot stood out. First things first, the tempo that Tom Brady practices with, that's something that I think is different. And what I tried to do was stand in a strategic point where I could watch the Bucs offense and watch the Titans offense and just kind of alternate. And usually, you know, you get a play here, a play to that side, and then a play back. So you could watch. But the Bucs and Tom Brady, they were working tempo. So you would see it was two, almost 3-1 as far as the amount of plays that were being executed. You also have a lot of motion and things like that before the Titans go on offense. But, you know, that's something that I wanted to focus on with the Bucs, because I remember the last time that they played in joint practices. I remember that was something that Kevin Byard and some of the guys talked about, the intensity and tempo of practice. Well, it was definitely there. The tempo was. And it was interesting watching them as far as the communication aspect is concerned, because this is an area that was a focal point in camp. And you see them doing a lot of pre-snap talk and reloading and those type of things. There wasn't really a lot of time to do that because they were hurrying up to the ball and hiking the ball. In fact, that's something I asked Kevin Byard about. So let's go ahead and get what Kevin Byard had to say after day one, practicing against Tom Brady in the offense.
Yeah, man, competed a lot, had a great day today at practice. You know, we had a hot one out here. So I think the team or the defense at least was very conditioned. I would say we didn't start as fast as we wanted to, but at the end of the day, we made some plays. Amani got a pick. Janoris Jenkins and Jack Rabbit, he got a pick as well. So, it's, like I said, you really can't replicate the type of practice, the type of intensity, you know, back at home. So, like I said, it's great to go up against a great team, Super Bowl champs.
With that tempo, the way that they had, because they were rolling, yeah. How was the communication and you guys adjusting to that?
I mean, I think it was pretty good, but like I said, there's still some stuff we need to clean up. It was kind of getting us with, you know, kind of walking up to the line and then Harry McGinn said he's snapping the ball. I think it's really good for us because, like I said, you can't replicate that yeah. You know, every day at practice. So some learning moments for some of the young guys as well. But as a whole entire group, I feel like we played pretty good. But, you know, without actually watching the film, I still feel like stuff we definitely need to clean up.
So that lets you know right there, right? You know, it was different because they were hurrying to the ball and snapping the ball. So there wasn't as much time to communicate. So you got to speed that process up. I think this is a good opportunity for them to test it and tweak it, going against another team and going against Brady, a guy who, as we mentioned, runs tempo. So that was a really good part of it. I enjoyed seeing that. And Coach Vrabel, he didn't really spend as much time with the defense. He was with the offense. But I wanted to get his perspective also, just how a tempo offense can alter or put your defense to the test, you know, one that's trying to communicate. So let's get Vrabel as well.
Oh, man, I think we try to practice, you know, at a great pace against ourselves, but, you know, that doesn't get replicated. I think it does get kicked up a notch. I thought guys took care of each other for the most part. I thought there were some competitive reps, and you know, hopefully the pressure that they can put us on, you know, our defense is only going to help us.
So those were the things, you know, that stood out to me as far as the tempo is concerned. I thought there were other good things to watch as well. One thing that I did notice, a lot of drops from the Bucs receivers. That was surprising. They had maybe seven or so drops. Now, I talked to some people that have been here watching the Bucks, Jenna Lane, my ESPN teammate, John Ledyard, you know, they said that the drops had been somewhat of an issue, and it's showing on Wednesday, because it was definitely an issue, but they still were sharp. A lot of the things that they were doing were checkdowns. Brady and that fast-paced offense, you know, quick reads, timing, they were hooking up on different ones. He did take a couple of deep shots to Mike Evans and to Jalen Darden, who was a rookie out of North Texas. He's a guy I thought would have matched with the Titans well, but they didn't look his way. But he did make a couple of nice catches today. Couple of interceptions, too. You got Amani Hooker is continuing to shine, man. He's a guy that I think Titans fans are going to be really happy with once he opens the season and shows what he could do as a starter. He picked off Tom Brady. He made a diving catch on – and this was after Brady had a streak of maybe five or six consecutive passes. He said enough's enough, and he picked that one off. Jackrabbit Jenkins had one. Brady, as always, he likes to go to Rob Gronkowski. They hooked up in the middle of the field. Then he tried on a kind of like an outbreaking route, and it bounced off of Gronkowski's hands. Jenkins picked it off, and he scored. And this was, quote unquote, at the end of the first half, because they were kind of practicing in to simulate the game, right, as far as the timing is concerned and everything. And it was the defense, their turn back on, and there was time ticking to end out the first half, and that interception was the one to end it. And Coach Vrabel was excited about that because, you know, you want to end on a with a score or a defensive stop to kind of roll that momentum into the second half. So that was a good job there. Couple of things that I think we should focus on are one-on-ones, right? And I was impressed with Mike Evans. You know, he caught a slant to open up one-on-ones against Christian Fulton, but there were two reps that stood out to me. And the first one was Jackrabbit Jenkins against Antonio Brown. And I was really impressed with how he was able to just stay with him on a slant. And he reached underneath and he punched it out. And then Caleb Farley later, first he got beat by Chris Godwin. It was, you know, he got beat. It wasn't good, you know. And he came back on the next rep. They tried to go deep again. He ran with Mike Evans and he slipped, but he got up and he punched it out. So that was a positive rep by Caleb Farley. I will say this from Farley. I want to see him do a little bit better against the inside moves. I think with him, right, what you often see him, he relies on that speed turn a lot. And I think they talk about being more aggressive, right, at the line of scrimmage. And I think one way that he could avoid having to use that speed turn, you got to get a jam at the line of scrimmage and take away that inside, right? So that's something that he didn't do in this other rep. I believe it was Antonio Brown that he was against, but he didn't get the jam, and Brown ran the slant and got inside, and he tried to speed turn, but he couldn't get there in time. And that's something that I keep seeing. Right. You know, the inside move, like I've said before, he wants to really turn it, run with the receiver. And that's fine. You have the ability to do that. But understand that they're going to route you. Right. And they're going to try to sell that, go chop it down and break across the field or do anything other than the go route, but make you think that the go route is coming. So that's an area for improvement with them. I know it's going to get better. It's something that I would imagine they're working on. So those were a couple of things that I took note of. And one-on-one, Amani Hooker, he had the interception in team period. And then also Elijah Moulton, he did a really good job there where he was able to undercut a route. I believe it was Mickens that was running the route. It was a slant, and he undercut that and picked it off. So he got his INT against Tom Brady. So that was a really good thing for him. There was a lot going on, though, a lot going on. Jayon Brown, he matched up with Rob Gronkowski a few times and actually held his own. He had a pass breakup during 7-on-7, and then that carried over to team period. He had one. So I was impressed there by those guys on defense. Jeffrey Simmons going against Ryan Jensen was one that Ryan Jensen is the center. You got two goons, man, just waging war. And that was a good opportunity to see those guys. I didn't catch as much of the one-on-ones as I did team period, but there were a couple of double teams where Simmons was able to push it back. He caused a rush throw. So I like what they have going there. Larell Murchison is another one. He's doing a really good job, man. He's continuing to do what he set out to do. And that was get quicker. We had him on Talking with TD, and that's one of the things he wanted to do was get faster off the ball. And you're seeing that, and he's firing off low. And, you know, that's something that when you have a guy that's strong, that quick, getting off the ball like that, it's tough to handle him. And that's why you're seeing him surface and showcase what he could do. It's something that we saw frequently on Wednesday. So we'll see how that carries over to Tuesday. But all in all, I think it was a good day. Tom Brady and the Bucs offense, without a doubt, got off to a fast start. And they were doing what they needed to do, you know, very efficient on offense. But then it started to tilt into the Titans' favor. They were helped by some drops, too. So I think all in all, the defense held their own. No Bud Dupree out there during team or 7-on-7. No DeNico Autry. No pretty much everyone else was there. T.R. Tart, he flashed a few times. So there were some good things to pull from the defensive side of things. Now, for what I saw offensively, Chester Rogers had a good day, man. And he continues to step up. He made a series of catches on different outbreaking routes. He had a catch in traffic for a touchdown on 7-on-7. You're seeing him just continue to, you know, make his move. Marcus Johnson is doing the same thing. He had a couple of catches there, one for a touchdown and 7-on-7, red zone 7-on-7. So another guy that surfaced, though, was Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And, you know, sometimes, man, when this competition gets turned up, some guys, they just have a way of turning up right with it. And that's what Westbrook-Ikhine did. I was very impressed with him. I thought that, you know, him going out there and making a couple catches, one of them was a deep corner route. He beat two guys, and Tannehill dropped into the bucket on him, and it was a really good catch. And that's something that Tannehill noted after practice when I asked him about the receiver standing out. So you got some things there. Josh Reynolds, Chester Rogers, Cam Batson, and Mason Kinsey, they took turns returning punts. And it wasn't as much them fielding the punt as it was giving the Bucs punt team a look. And they were working on downing the ball inside the 5-yard line. And that's actually what the Titans did as well. You had your first gunners were Racy McMath and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. They had a couple down at the 2-yard line. Westbrook-Ikhine down one. It was like the inch yard line. It was a really good play there. And then Elijah Molden, there was one that he served as a gunner on one of them. And the ball bounced and it was going into the end zone. He jumped up and grabbed it and he threw it back in bounds. But the other gunner wasn't there to get it. So Mickens caught it and he returned it. I thought that was pretty funny. But Marcus Johnson had a couple there. And I think it should be noted that he's working at gunner. And I like him at gunner because this is a guy, right, at Texas, 4.39 speed, you know, at the pro day. So he definitely has the speed to get down there and force some fair catches. He downed a couple inside the 5 as well. So those are just a couple of things I want to kind of unload the notebook a little bit and help you guys out just on some of the things I saw. Sam Ficken, he was 9 out of 10, including a couple from 50-plus. So the kicking situation is continuing to work itself out. Unfortunately, Tucker McCann is hurt, and that's a shame that he's not able to go. The competition there would have been right where it needs to be, right? You know, you got two guys pushing each other, but right now Ficken is he's in the driver's seat because there's nobody else out there. One other thing just to kind of note, Monty Rice, he went down. He was in coverage against one of the tight ends in the middle of the field, and he went down, and he didn't get up, and then the trainers came out, and they helped him off the field. He was favoring his right leg, and he was off the field. Then the cart had to come, and it took him inside the building. So that's not a good sign. I didn't get a chance to find out exactly what's going on with him, but it was something in the lower part of his body on the right-hand side. So hopefully for his sake, you know, the rookie can get back at some point soon and it's not too severe. So like I said, just wanted to get an opportunity to unload the clip, give you some things that I had on my mind and just kind of run through the notes again. And we're looking forward to going out and seeing one-on-ones tomorrow and team period and all of that good stuff. So definitely stay tuned. We'll be right back, pay these bills, and come back with Run TMC.
Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. That's right. You hear the music. Talking with TD. We want to keep this thing going. Run TMC. Hey, Chris, I can hear him with his Jerry Curl playing that guitar, man. It always gets me every time. But it's only right we bring this portion in. We got to bring it in the right way. So I'll go ahead and get the introduction. Dim the lights. And now, starting for your Milwaukee Bucks at forward, number 34. Terry Cummings.
Oh, and now, with his number one hit single, Caribbean Queen, Billy Ocean.
Okay, Gregory Abbott, and you woo.
Man, what's up, man? What you doing down there in Tampa Bay, man?
Man, you know what? I'm just enjoying watching a couple of teams practice, man. It's been great checking out Tom Brady in the offense. That's what I focused on today. I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. You know, they were putting on a good show, man. So I think, you know, we talked about the offense, and it's time to get into the Titans offense, though, because when you look at some of the guys that are struggling, right? And I think we should focus on Des Fitzpatrick.
True.
And I want to get your take on what you think is going on. I have my take. Or maybe, you know what, I'll offer my take first. Mm-hmm. And this is what I think the issue is, because I'm seeing him go out and get lined up in the wrong place a few times. Mm-hmm. He's working inside and outside. I mean, this guy got Rob Moore. The receiver coach, Rob Moore, I don't think he's ever raised his voice another time in his life, but he lined up in the wrong spot, and Rob Moore did the classic coach thing, grab the hat, throw it on the ground. You're killing me, son. You're killing me. Like that. I think that is him getting – they need to stop cross-training him. I think he 100%. Needs to focus on X, focus on Z, and just be able to do that. Now, what are your thoughts, or what do you think is struggling with him?
I think it's a confidence thing right now. And when you got confidence about lining up right, you're going to hesitate and you can't focus on catching the ball. I mean, that's just elementary right there. If you don't know how to line up and not do just a little thing in that aspect, how are you going to focus on catching the ball? How are you going to focus on your technique getting off the line of scrimmage? How are you going to focus on catching the ball? So, you know, when I got into the league, TD, I wasn't playing two and three positions. I played X position because that was you kind of put your fastest guy at X receiver because he's on the ball, can release and make plays. So I just think that, you know, Rob Moore, and I respect his coaching, and, you know, I'm never going to disrespect anybody's coaching, but I just think you want to make it simple so he can play fast. I mean, we always talk about that. Keep it simple so they can play fast, because now he doesn't have to think. Yeah, and then another thing too, TD, is, you know, J-Rob saw something in him. Mike Vrabel saw something in him. Rob Moore saw something in him. So as a general manager, as a head coach, and as a receiver coach, you need to pull that back out of him. You have to. That's what coaching is about right now. If you yell at him and scream at him, and this is just me, if you publicly dog him, he is going to play hesitant. But if you say, you know what, he's a rookie, he's going to get it, we're going to get this thing done because we saw something in him, and I'm going to pull it out, now he's going to play fast.
And that's the thing I thought was really interesting about Vrabel's comments on him when he was asked what it was Fitzpatrick had to do to play more. And he said a lot, and he came back and just said it again. There's a lot that he has to do. And I thought that was kind of different, because you don't really see that too much, where he'll dog a guy and in press conferences, you know. And so I followed up the next day to ask him about that. And I also asked about the small victory, because you're right. The confidence thing is huge, especially at this level where everybody's talented, right? And so if you're not going out there confident and feeling yourself, you are going to get embarrassed, and it's just going to keep snowballing. So that's something that he has to do. I'm just surprised that they're not looking at the little victories, because when Dylan Radins was struggling, that's something I asked Keith Carter about, you know, and he said that they're stacking small victories. They're looking at things like, you know, just getting lined up and firing off the ball, getting hands on defenders and those type of things. So I'm just curious why it's applying to Radins, but not as much to Fitzpatrick. It's confusing.
Yeah, but this is what we have to do. If this guy's been in a league for 5 and 6 years, we have a problem. This is his first rookie camp. It's his first rookie camp. And I know other guys are doing better, but a lot of guys are not asking to play three different positions. That makes a difference.
Yeah.
If I got to know X, Z, and it's not just knowing how to line up with X. It's not just how to load up with Z or even H or whatever. Now you got to learn all their motions.
right. The motions and the conversions and the trigger words. Because I'll tell you this, Coach Todd Downing, his play calls are paragraphs. You know what I mean? So it's a whole lot that you have to know in order to play fast. And
so
I think that's really what's stopping
thesaurus.
You know what? You need a thesaurus, all of that, man. You need all of that, because it's a lengthy play call, though, all jokes aside. And obviously, and you know how it works. You have your trigger words that you pick up on for the position that you're playing, and that'll let you know what to do. But as you said, the motions, you got to know that. And then, you know, converting coverages and those type of things, all of that stuff can slow you down.
It can. I mean, it's like you're playing in quicksand because your mind is spinning, you're hesitant, and then all of a sudden you can't catch the ball. So it's so many things. It's not just – see, as a fan on the outside looking in, we're thinking, oh, he just can't line up. He can't catch the ball. He has bad technique. It goes beyond that. If you don't play with confidence, you can't play fast, you can't play in this league. I just think that, you know, and I'm not saying coddle him. I'm not saying baby him. Still keep him accountable, but still encourage him and give him that when he has those small victories, kind of like what you were talking about, TD. Because if you don't play with confidence, you're not going to be playing. That's just anybody. Look at Jerry Rice. When he first got in the league, how many balls did he drop?
I mean, dropping a bunch of them. And they were calling him Fifi because of that hair.
Just as long as you don't have it when he had those braids. I mean,
the ones that started like halfway in the back of his head.
Yeah, if he was in the army, he would have to salute like way back.
But no, you're right, and it's crazy that you mentioned that about all of those things and how it makes it tougher to catch the football, because that's the struggle that he had. He has dropped his share of passes. You look at, I believe it was, and camp, man, this happens. The days run together, so. I'm going to say today is Wednesday. It was Sunday's practice right in front of John Robinson. I mean, it's like he picked up where Nick Westbrook and Kenny left off fighting the football, you know, and those altercations, they were happening. And you can't have those, man. Like, you got to catch the football. And John Robinson was right there watching it. And he actually spent all of Sunday's practice for the most part watching the receivers, you know, so. Fitzpatrick, he definitely, I'm sure he feels a little bit of the pressure, but I think the main thing, he has to go out there and just relax and understand that it's football and like you said, not lose your confidence.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, too, is it all goes back to words. And if you start dogging this kid and putting this kid down, he's not going to play fast. I'm going to give you a perfect example. I was in high school one time, and, you know, I'm doing good as a freshman, and, you know, my head coach calls everybody up because he saw me, you know, being a little cocky, and he said this. He said, if you think you're better than these older receivers, I want you to stand up. Me as a knucklehead, as a freshman, stood up. And he said these words.
Oops.
He said, you're the worst receiver I've ever seen. You know, for 2 years, I played paralyzed. I was afraid to run. I was afraid to catch. I was catching, you know, with my chest as opposed to my hands. And that's exactly what Fitzpatrick is going on, is he's been paralyzed with fear. He's been paralyzed with no confidence. So how are you going to play if you've been feeling paralyzed and you're trying to catch a ball? Paralyzed by figuring out how to line up is because of the words. So if I'm a coach, that's what I do. I coach at Montgomery Bird Academy. I'm going to yell. I'm going to scream. I'm going to demand respect. I'm going to do all those things, but I'm going to still zone in on those small victories like what you said, TD.
Right, right. Circle back, you know, after you yell and scream, pulling to the side. Hey, look, man. You know, and I think that's something that we have to see. Now, I don't want to paint the picture like as if he's being screamed on. You know, this was just one time where, right. You know, he got lined up in the, and hey, look, man, you cut up, you mess up, you're going to get, there's consequences. So I want to make that clear. They're not dogging him, so to speak, but still, he has to get it together. And one thing he has to understand that no matter what, you don't. So I'll say this then, you know, we mentioned throw the towel.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that it's feasible for the Titans to throw the towel on Dez Fitzpatrick?
I say absolutely not. I mean, think that right now you got to be patient. Now, if he goes in year 2 and 3, now you need to throw in the towel and then you need to have a little insert. You can't win. Then he's got to get him out of there.
You can't win.
But as of now, he's a rookie. He's still learning the game. He's still understanding different techniques that he probably didn't learn when he was probably in college. He probably had to play one position. Now he's playing three. You know, because you know Mike Vrabel always talked about that he wants smart and versatile players. But you can't put that on everybody in different positions. A quarterback can handle that. Maybe a cornerback can have that. He can play nickel. He can play on the perimeter. But as a receiver, some guys can handle that and some guys can't. So I believe don't throw in the towel.
Yeah, I think it's early, and he's a rookie. And, you know, for me, when you look at I thoroughly believe his saving grace is he's a fourth-round pick, and he's a guy that they traded up to get. So that's going to make them, hey, okay, look, man, we're going to try to let this thing work out. Now, if it doesn't work next year, I could definitely see something like, hey, him being released. I mean, that's what I saw. I remember one of my first years covering the league, I was covering the 49ers, and A.J. Jenkins was their first-round pick. And after 1 year, they shipped him to Kansas City, and they got Kansas City Baldwin. I forget his first name. But they got a receiver in exchange, and it was a guy Kansas City wanted to dump. So I could see next year if stuff isn't right, then it could happen. But I don't see it happening this year. Real quick, Josh Reynolds, he actually showed some acceleration.
Did he?
At the open practice, he ran a post and Tannehill put it up there. And I was impressed with how he just tucked and he ran it down and he was able to haul it in. Afterwards, nice. I asked him about his lower body, you know, because he's obviously been working through something. And I asked him if it was the lower body and he said it was the Achilles. So it's definitely something that he's working through.
Good, man. I mean, I'm happy for him because me, you know, I'm going to blame it on you. You know, you got to put it on the blame. You was dogging it. You're like, you can't win. You'll hear running around, you can't win.
You can't win.
Do the corner drill.
I was letting him know. He would line up to run around, and I'd be like,
it's suicide.
That's too funny. Well, crazy, do you want to take a stab? How many receivers do you think they'll keep?
I think they're going to keep maybe – I think between 5 and 6. I think.
Okay.
I think this is my opinion. I may be wrong. I think McMath is gone because he's kind of been. We were excited a little bit at the beginning because he made a.
He's faded away.
He faded away. When you fade away, you don't keep showing on the film. You're out of there. And plus, when you're undrafted, what round did he go in?
Six.
When you get drafted as a sixth round, I mean, you got to show up on film absolutely every single time. And if you don't, and you're a sixth round draft pick.
Well, he's working with the Gunners. He's the first team Gunner. I think they keep 6, maybe 7. A guy that continues to shine, and he had a really good day on Wednesday. That daggone Chester Rogers is a problem.
Dude, he's a problem.
You saw his punt return against the Falcons, and then on Wednesday he was making some plays, man. Ryan Tannehill. And that's the thing with Tannehill. It seems like he goes through spurts where there's, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
This is my guy today.
Yeah.
And the next day. And right now, Chester Rogers is his guy.
But, you know, it goes back to just getting the opportunity, man. You know, just getting opportunities to where a quarterback has faith in you. You're going to go out there and you're going to continuously make him plays. I mean, when Tannehill, one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, is looking at you when it's clutch time, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, if you get a chance, check out my article on Marcus Johnson also.
Okay.
I think you'll appreciate that. It gets into his faith. He actually started going to Thursday Bible studies
with
the Eagles when he was in Philly as a rookie. And then the following year, he got baptized the night before their week six game against the Carolina Panthers.
That's
and
my new guy.
When he got to Indy, he did some stuff. So definitely read that because I know you will appreciate that. And I'll connect you to him as well.
Sounds good, my man. I appreciate you, TD. Good job on your work.
All right, for sure.
All right, boss.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
This is another hit from Biz Markie, dedicated to the radio, not he and she.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD here live at Bucks practice. One of the things I was looking forward to coming down here, obviously, was watching the Bucks, but it's always good to catch up with old friends. So I got my guy John Ledyard here from Pewter Report. John, what's going on, man?
No, not too much, man. It's a hot one today.
Yeah.
You look like you've handled it better than me so far, though. So maybe the Pennsylvania roots of me are still struggling to adjust.
Yeah, I got those PA roots out. You know, it's been 3 years, so I'm good. But so looking at practice today, I guess let's kind of go through a couple things. First things first, one-on-ones, what were your thoughts from there? I know Caleb Farley had a couple nice breakups, but, you know, Tom Brady and the receivers, they seem to be on point.
Yeah, Bucks receivers came out really getting after it. You know, I think there were a couple drops. They had a couple drops during the session, but you could tell Bucks receiving group definitely a really talented core, probably great for the Titans to get some work against. You're right, though. Caleb Farley gave up early the deep ball to Chris Godwin, I think it was, and then came back and broke up a play for Mike Evans, made a good adjustment to stick with the ball and stay in phase there. So, you know, I was stunned. He is big, man. Like, I stood behind him. Like, oh, my goodness, this is a corner. Like, I had to double check to make sure he was number three. But, yeah, he looked good, and I think it's going to be a work in progress as it is for almost all young corners in this league. But the talent is definitely there. Like, he doesn't look like he's labored or like the athleticism is a question mark, which are huge things coming off injury situations that he's had in the past. So good session. I mean, Bucks definitely won that early session, I think, with a lot of the one-on-ones. But, you know, you could tell the physicality of it, right? There were a couple like, he's holding me. And then early on, I think AB got held. And then he was like, you know, the rest of the drill, he was kind of talking trash and really amped up. And so it was good to see the energy and the sparks flying a little bit.
What about Elijah Molden? Did you get to watch him 24?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of him too. You know, I think with him, the big question mark is everybody's watching to see if athletically he can hang with NFL caliber talent because they love technically and mentally the things that he was good at in college.
Yeah.
Obvious ball skills, but like athletically, how does he match up with everybody else? So, I mean, I don't like to draw too much from one day. I still think it's a question for him. Long speed is going to be a question for him. If you're slot only, that's not as big of a deal. So maybe there's ways around it schematically that the Titans can kind of make work for him. I think special teams, he's going to give you everything he has. You saw him get down on the one punt and kind of threw it back. And so he's a hustler. I think you're going to get 100% him. What the ceiling, I don't want to say Desmond King to throw off Titans, but like that kind of a player,
you know what I mean?
So like, I think that if that's his ceiling, that's great. You know what I mean? King's had some great years and peak moments. And I think that's what probably Tennessee is hoping for to get out of him. We'll just see if in time that can happen. But toughness, physicality, you know, again, smarts, like he brings things to your team. The only question is in certain matchups, will he be exposed because of the athleticism?
Yeah, that's a great point. So moving on to, let's go to team period and just some of the things that you saw there. We'll start offensively. For me, it was tempo. Watching the Bucks offense run three plays by the time that, well, truthfully two, by the time the Titans offense ran one, is that A, is something that you've seen consistently, that tempo, and what does that do? Because that's why I asked Brady about that.
Right. It stresses me out as a tweeter that's live tweeting plays.
Like,
I'm trying to take notes and live tweet, and it's like that every day. Yeah, they're very fast. You know, I think Brady likes to play that way. They, you know, one of the things they did in the Super Bowl actually was they played way faster, and that was one of the big reasons why they won. I think offensively they kept getting the Chiefs before they were ready, and so that's something they're going to have to be able to do this season. So it was good to see them continue to do that in practice. I was mostly over watching Bucks offense today, and tomorrow I'll try to watch Bucks defense.
Same.
So couldn't really watch too much of both, but yeah, I would say that Bucks offense dropped a ton of passes today, and I just do because I've been out here every day. That's been a problem. Today was double probably what was normally a problem. So it makes it frustrating because it's harder to glean who really won because of that. I mean, I think the Bucks were open a lot, but again, Titans made some good plays on the ball. First red zone period, I thought Titans had played very well, made it very tough, a lot of contested throws in those tight windows in the red zone. So I thought there were good things from both sides. One thing I'll notice, I know Tennessee fans are really Like, what's the pass rush going to look like? What's that part of things going to look like? We can talk about the one-on-ones and what I saw there maybe a little bit later. But in the 11-on-11s, I did think that it's a good starting O-line for the Bucs. But I didn't think there was quite as much pressure as the Titans fans probably were hoping for. And so that'll be something to watch tomorrow really closely, too. But I'll say Larrell Murchison keeps flashing. I know you mentioned him to me before practice. It just that type of explosiveness is hard to stop on a D-line. Like, guards aren't used to it necessarily, and it's been his trait since college. And if he can develop technically and physically, then you're probably going to have a nice little three technique on your hands.
Well, good thing for Titans fans, Bud Dupree wasn't out there, so that helps it out a lot. But when you look at that interior matchup, because that's what I wanted to see. Ryan Jensen, the goon, going against another goon in Jefferson.
Yeah. Oh, that was – I know I didn't see them go one-on-one. Maybe I missed it. I didn't see them in the one-on-ones. I missed the first few.
I was talking about in team period.
In team period, right. Yeah. That was a great battle. I mean, I think that there were a couple great battles today in team period. Like I said, I didn't see the Titans necessarily get a ton of pressure, but it didn't. But people weren't open sometimes either, so there was some holding the ball and some late pressure because of that. Yeah. And I don't know how much blitzing was done today either. I didn't look like they did any today. And so that's another element to things that, you know. So mano a mano, I thought that the Bucs matched up pretty well in that regard. But like you said, Bud Dupree's not out there yet, and so that's a big difference for the Titans. They're obviously open. He kind of takes that group over the top to a degree, and so. You know, good matchups throughout the day. You know, Simmons in Ali Marpet and Simmons, they had some battles, right? I mean, like, those are kind of like premier players of the positions you're getting to see battle to an extent. Our vantage point doesn't always make O-line, D-line play the easiest to observe, but you saw Simmons in one-on-ones, went up against Aaron Stinney, who was kind of the Bucs' key reserve guard, kind of tossed him on the first rep, then Stinney came back, won the second rep, everybody's hooting and hollering and going crazy, and I just love that competition, you know what I mean? When you're out there going against somebody else, and you can finally, you have your teammates back, and so on both sides. So it was a fun afternoon.
So other than Simmons and one-on-ones, what else stood out? Did you get to see Tier Tart, 93?
I did, yeah. I saw Tier Tart. Actually, the first play I saw, he got a good bull rush on Jensen, but then got kind of overextended, and Jensen put him kind of face down. But he just right away caught my eye. Somebody was like, oh, yeah, like this guy can move a little bit, and we'll see what he becomes, obviously. I'm not super familiar with him outside of what I saw, the little bit I saw today, but I know they're looking for those depth pieces, right, on the interior defensive line, like whether it's Murchison or Tart or somebody who can play and give us something next to Simmons, you know, who can be a part of the rotation, especially passing downs, who can give us some juice in those situations. So that'll be something they're getting to measure that against one of the best interior O-lines in the league, and so there will be lots to evaluate from that for them, I know, as they go back and look at the tape.
Yeah, speaking of juice, Bud Dupree, as you mentioned, was brought here to bring the juice. You have background with Dupree, so tell me a little bit about him and, you know, what the Titans fans are able to look forward to.
I know that deal was criticized by some people, you know, cough, cough, Pro Football Focus a little bit, and I love those guys. But, man, I really think he's a good player. I mean, you can argue overpaid, but everybody gets overpaid to a degree, you know. I know the injury might scare some people, but I don't think that's a super uncommon injury at this point, and we get in NFL medical stuff that usually is something guys can bounce back from. But, man, he is explosive, explosive, explosive. Mm-hmm. And when I told you this before practice, but when you're explosive and physical to the degree that he is, usually you can figure something out. It did take some years for Bud Dupree to figure things out, but elite run defender, super, super physical, sets the edge, throws guys, you know, tight ends, no chance. He's gotten much better as a mental processor. You know, I would say that he's gone from questionable in that area to like a standout in that area. Like, he can anticipate where things are going, keep leverage. He's kind of an ultimate run defender because he's physical and he's athletic. Like, if you run away from him, he'll probably chase it down.
Yeah.
If you boot on him, he can chase you down. So there's a lot that he gives you just in that stuff, and then you get to pure pass rush, and that's where he's still growing, and I think he will still continue to grow. But he couldn't convert speed to power at all for 3 years in Pittsburgh, which if you're explosive and strong, how can you not like, that's like the whole thing, right? But he's slowly been able to do it now, and he can work. You see, last year that we saw inside moves, like that was something he didn't have his repertoire at all for a while. He's always been able to kind of, if he can beat you with his first step, he can win the edge. He's never going to be super bendy. Again, I'm bringing up probably negative comparisons for Titans fans, but there's some like Jadeveon Clowney to him, but I feel like he doesn't have, I know he's coming off an injury, he doesn't have the same level of injury history as Clowney, and I don't think he's totally without pass rush move. Like, he's figured some of that stuff out.
He closes the deal better.
Exactly, right. Yeah, that's right. Clowney could always create something initially with the first step. Dupree has learned to finish better than Clowney kind of ever has learned to. Clowney's never really mastered that part of his game. And Dupree's kind of learned how to figure out, okay, I'm not this bendy rusher, but I can beat guys with power and I can set up inside moves off of it. And if I beat a guy with my first step, I'm fast. Like, I could probably turn the corner. And he's great at the loose hand, right? The right hand coming up, if he's playing on the left side or the right side, which he usually is. Yep, getting that ball and knocking the ball out. He forced a lot of fumbles. He has a very good presence of mind for that. So he's a really good player. He's not a tier one pass rusher, but absolutely a starting pass rusher in today's NFL and a guy that will help your team for sure.
Last thing, got to get your thoughts. Brady kind of sidestepped the whole that MF or over me thing with Ryan Tannehill.
He's clearly
What do you think of that?
It's funny because I went on Twitter. I was just like, is anybody going to tweet the video or are they just going to tweet the end result? Because, like, yeah, he's asked about it and then he kind of danced around it. Are you talking about Ryan? Like, are you asking this question? Yeah, he kind of like, and they just kept coming at him. I don't know who's asking, but, and he finally was like, no, Ryan, I like Ryan. You know, he wasn't the guy. You know, clearly, in my opinion, lying. I mean, I feel like I feel good about my sources that, he was that guy and the Titans were that team. And not that he would have signed there. I don't think there was anything imminent at any point. But, you know, he's just talking on the shop. And he's, of course, he's going to say, this is what I get for one time letting the guard down and actually saying something in a media platform. You know, he's getting asked about it all phases. But Brady hates transparency. And he hates when anybody kind of knows something that he doesn't feel like they should. So he would, I mean, you could go through all 32 teams here today and there's no chance he would ever say it. So we'll probably never know for sure. But I feel pretty confident it was the Titans.
There you have it, John Ledyard, Pewter Report. Where can they find you on social?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Ledyard, LEDYARD, NFL Draft. I got draft takes and Bucks takes and NFL takes on there all the time. And, of course, PewterReport.com is where all my work is at.
There you have it.